So I'm asking, Lord, as always, that you would use this vessel in this moment as you choose. And Lord, please let my life, let it praise you. I'm asking for clarity of thought and clarity of speech, that you would speak to us, speak through us, and speak to those that will have an ear to hear what your spirit has to say to the church. And Lord, please help us that we will be doers of your word and not hearers only. We're depending on you and you alone. Have your way. We ask and receive and thank you in advance for hearing and answering our prayer. We count it as done. In Jesus' name, amen. Walk with me, if you will, to the historical book of the New Testament, which is the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And let's journey to the 19th chapter of Acts. The 19th chapter of the book of Acts. And we will begin at verse number 1. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 1. In thinking about this and doing some reading and studying, I am pretty sure that I'm going to begin a series of this teaching that I'm going to present today. I don't know how long the series is going to be, but it might be a series. So stay tuned. That's a little teaser, I guess, huh? But here we are in Acts, chapter number 19, and verse number 1 and 2 is what we will start off with this morning. Before I give you the thought that I believe God impressed in my mind, let's read those two verses. I have, of course, the Amplified Classic Version. This is what it says, Acts chapter number 19, beginning verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and came down to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Verse 2, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus as the Christ?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." I'd like to offer the thought this morning, the full blessing, the full blessing. Paul found disciples here in his journey in Ephesus. And it's important for us to notice that there is not a question here in the biblical record that these are disciples. That's not the question. So Paul didn't ask them whether they were disciples, but he asked the right question. And the question that he asked was, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost? In one version, it's the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost was one and the same. It's the Spirit of the living God. "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" That is the question. And that is the question that we must ask believers today. I don't think it is necessary or beneficial or to any advantage to get into debates and arguments to designate someone or to position someone in our minds or their minds as to whether they are believers. But the real question I think needs to be addressed and put forward is, have they received the full blessing? The full blessing. Have they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? You know, there are other faith traditions that believe in Jesus Christ. There are other faith traditions that are not the same as ours, but yet and still, they believe in Jesus Christ. They even give a certain amount of recognition and honor to Jesus, and they will even go as far as quoting some of the words as recorded in Scripture, some of the words of Jesus. So it is not entirely all-encompassing, if you will, just to believe in Jesus. Because I believe the Bible lets us know that the devil believes and trembles. But the question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So Paul told them here in this account, he asked them a question. Well, what were you baptized into? To what baptism? What happened when you were baptized? And he said, we were baptized under John's baptism. He didn't rip them apart, but he gave them a further understanding of what John's baptism was. John baptized unto repentance. And John told them that they should believe on the one that was coming after John, and that is Jesus Christ. So when we drop down a little further in this 19th chapter, beginning at verse number 4, and Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, continually telling the people that they should believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. The Amplified Classic unpacks it here, having a conviction full of joyful trust that he is Christ, the Messiah, and being obedient to him. Verse 5, on hearing this, these disciples, these ones who were baptized unto John's baptism, baptized unto repentance, on hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can I pause and give a brief testimonial history of myself? I was baptized at a young age as a Baptist, in the Baptist Church, Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York. Then some years later, I was connected in my military service to the Israelite Church of God in Christ in Colorado Springs, Colorado. But it was not until someone enlightened me here in this very state of California and let me know that I needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. And upon hearing this, I didn't argue, I didn't debate, I didn't have really a leg to stand on, because I really wanted to be saved. And the Bible has already declared before I even got saved that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And since I believe the Lord saw that I was diligent in seeking him. I was tired of the life that I was living. He allowed me to hear about being baptized in the name of Jesus and being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. So I'm back at verse 5. On hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. So just in case you might be connecting on our online campus and you might see the need for the full blessing, the full blessing. And verse number 6 says, and as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in, Amplified unpacks it, foreign, unknown tongues, languages, and prophesied. Verse 7 says, there were about 12 of them in all. So these disciples, these well-intentioned people who were living up to all that they knew for God, but when God allowed them to hear a clearer and more complete message, they got baptized again. I wonder if there's anybody that's listening to us this morning that has a clear enough conscience and will be honest with yourself and says, this is what I need. You need the full blessing. We're not arguing that you believe in Jesus. We're not even removing the label, if you will, of Christian. You can call yourself a Christian, and we don't have an issue with that. But we want you to have the full benefit of the blessing of God. This is not only this is what we want for you, but most importantly, this is what God wants for you. Now, in looking at this, we need to be upfront and honest with you to let you know that the Holy Ghost was working even back in Old Testament time. The Holy Ghost was working in Old Testament times. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, one and the same. Just want to get a couple of scriptural references to the working of the Holy Ghost, because what I'd like to convey and bring out and make as clear as I possibly can with the help of the Lord and with your prayers, that there is a distinction between the Spirit of God working or moving upon someone and the Spirit of God filling someone. There is a distinction. So in Numbers chapter number 11 and verse number 25, I'll read it, Amplified Classic, and the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and put it upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, sounding forth the praises of God and declaring his will. Then they did so no more. So here we see an account in Old Testament time of God, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God. We see his spirit resting upon this group. And when God's spirit rested upon the 70 elders, they prophesied. And they were declaring God's will. So God, by his spirit, was moving even in Old Testament times. So we want to make it clear that we believe that God's spirit is moving even in our day and time. We believe that God's spirit is moving and even setting upon individuals to even bring them into settings like this. Because he has a fuller purpose for the individuals that he's... See, it is the love of God that I sincerely believe, God is trying to draw people with cords of love. So sometimes his spirit will set on the individual or even on groups of individuals to bring to them an awareness that this is God that's trying to draw me. You ever notice or be in a situation where you hear people say, I don't know why, but there's something, you know, that is moving me to do this. It's the Spirit of God. They can't recognize it, but we have to understand, as the Scripture states, God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So God, by his grace and his mercy, and we thank him for it, is still, in fact, moving by his Spirit on individuals. But there is a distinction. There is a distinction, because after they prophesied, last part of that verse said, they did so no more. So we're not saying that God is not using you, believer. We're not saying that God is not impressing certain things upon you, but what we're saying is you need the full blessing. The full blessing. 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 10, when they came to the hill Gibeah, behold, a band of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he spoke under divine inspiration among them. So we see just a couple of instances of God's Spirit moving on individuals. We need to understand that while Jesus was on the earth, he gave power and authority to men to go before him and work. In Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says in the Amplified Classic, then Jesus called together the 12 apostles and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing. So the 12 apostles had power and authority to go and preach. All right? So we move to Luke, the 10th chapter. And verse number 1 says, now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come visit. All right? So I'm dropping now to verse 17 of Luke, chapter 10. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Now, that's some power there. Huh? That's some power there. But watch this. Verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. That's what you need to rejoice about. But now watch. Now, you know, it would be easy to get excited and strike up some chords on the band and shout on this passage right here, seeing the power that they had. There is no doubt that the 12 apostles of Jesus were believers, right? There is no doubt that the 70 that he gave that power and authority were believers, but still they had to receive the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Doing all that work for the Lord, but they still had to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Walk with me to John chapter number 7, very familiar passage of scripture. So we're not saying to believers that may be listening, all the work that you're doing for God, we're not discounting that. Huh? But what we're saying is you need the full blessing. You need the full blessing. Because if it's anything that will bring glory to God and it's done in the right manner, right perspective, we don't take glory to ourselves, but God gets the glory. Huh? God gets the glory. But here we are in John chapter number 7 and verse 37, beginning there. Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried in a loud voice, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Watch verse 38. Here it is for the believers. "He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water." So this has to happen from the inside. Verse 39, Jesus was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him were, watch now, afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified, raised to honor. Jesus hadn't went to the cross of Calvary yet when he said this. Although they had power and authority to do works and go before Jesus in cities that Jesus would come to, they still, even with that power, they still, even with the enemy and the demons being subject unto them in the name of Jesus, because of the name of Jesus, they still had to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. They still had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't be satisfied with an urging every now and then of God resting upon you. Don't be satisfied with a good feeling that you think is from God every now and then to cause you to do something that is in line with the Word of God, and then that feeling subsides and you go back to business as usual. When you get that feeling or unction from God, I believe God is resting upon you, or if you allow me, tapping you on your shoulder and letting you know you need the full blessing. I want you to have the full blessing. So I'm trying to make this clear. I know I may be being redundant, but you need to get this in your heart and in your mind. It is vitally important to be clear in the understanding of the distinction of the Holy Ghost being upon someone and someone being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we must be fully conscious that we have received the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And the only way for you to be fully conscious that you have received the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is you got to get it like they got it. You got to get it like we got it. We're not saying that you're not believers. We're not saying that you're not Christians. We're not saying that you don't honor and reverence the name of Jesus. But what the Bible is saying is the question that Paul asked those 12 disciples: have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Acts chapter number 1. And while being in their company and eating with them, He commanded them. Who is he commanding? He's commanding some of the same ones that he had already given power to. He's commanding some of the same ones who had gone before him in cities and did great things in his name. But and while being in their company, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and eating with them, he commanded. See, watch that word. It's a command, not an option. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. He said, you heard me talk about it. You heard me just a little while ago say, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. So he is reminding them of what he had already said. He said, for John, I'm in 5 now, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with, placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So Jesus is telling these men that he took along and taught for 3.5 years in his public ministry, yes, I've given you power to do things, and you've accomplished great things in my name, but don't let that go to your head. Don't let you get the big head that the devil's is subject to us. Ooh, look, power. He said, no, but you got to receive this power. You got to receive the full blessing. So he commanded them. It wasn't an option. It wasn't a strong suggestion. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. Don't go nowhere. You wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that's exactly what they did. After Jesus went up into heaven, after he ascended up into heaven, there they were in Jerusalem. They were waiting. And as they were waiting, they were waiting in faith. They were waiting in confidence. They were waiting in joyful anticipation of receiving the promise that God, through the person of Jesus Christ, had so clearly and distinctly told them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So there they were in that upper room. They were praising God. They were waiting. Yes, they could have rested on their laurels and said, well, you know, we done some things. You know, we did some powerful things, and we were preaching this message that God had given to us. Listen, their preaching was powerful because the Holy Ghost was moving them. Their preaching was powerful in Jesus's day because the Holy Ghost was setting upon them and moving them and was unctioning them as it rested upon them. But can you imagine the increase of the power of their preaching when they were in that upper room and they were waiting there? And I believe it was about 10 days. They were waiting there in that upper room. Not only were they there, but there was a number, and it got to about 120 souls in that upper room. They were there with one mind and one accord and one purpose. They were praising God and worshiping God in anticipation of receiving the promise. Yes, we know what it felt like. I can imagine in the minds of the 12, we know what it felt like to be under the power of God. We know what it felt like to be doing real ministry under the power of God. But we're going to have something that not only going to be under the power of God, the power of God is going to be in us. And the Bible said in Acts the 2nd chapter, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. thank God for the obedience of those people, of those men and women who were there in that upper room. Thank God that they didn't string out or launch out on their own, but they believed Jesus enough to stay there and wait for the promise. I wonder if anybody this morning, under the sound of my voice, do you believe God enough to praise him for the promise that you haven't received yet? I wonder if you would, if you will, raise your voice in anticipation and praise to God. Listen, they didn't get tired of praising and waiting on the first through the ninth day, and they were doing some praising. They were doing some exalting their God. I can imagine them in that room. It hasn't happened on the first day or the second day, third day, fourth day. What we gonna do on day five? We still gonna praise? We still gonna believe? Well, here comes day six. Has it happened yet? No. Are you leaving? No, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying up here in the upper room. Wait a minute. It's been 6 days. It only took 3 days for him to get up out that ground. And here we done doubled those days. Here it is, day six. What you gonna do? You going home? No, I ain't going home until I receive what God promised. So here comes day number seven. Somebody said seven is God's number of completion. So surely it should happen on day seven. But it didn't happen on day seven, and they were not yet weary. They were still praising God. Well, here comes day number eight. Somebody said eight was the number of new beginnings. So surely it's going to come on day eight. It did not come on day eight, but still they were waiting. Here comes day number nine. Nobody lost their mind, but they were still praising God. And the Bible said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, listen, God has a day that will come. God has your day, and it will come. They were all together. The Bible said they were all together in one place, in one accord. Yes, they were. Nobody got tired of praising. I wonder how long will you praise God if you believe his promise. Some can't wait 10 minutes. Some can't wait 30 minutes. But I wonder, will you believe God to receive the full blessing? Listen, there's a lot of folks that's talking about different types of blessings. They're talking about prosperity as far as wealth and finances. They're talking about houses and lands and cars and things like that. They're talking about stacking this and stacking that. But I have a word from the Lord. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it profit the man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I'm not talking about material blessings, but I'm talking about the full blessing of the Holy Ghost. You need the full blessing. I'm saying that you don't believe in God. I'm not saying that you're not a Christian, but I'm saying I'm joining my voice to the voice of the Apostle Paul. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Listen, God wants you to get the full blessing, because when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't not only have the power of God upon you, you got the power of God in you. And Jesus said the Holy Ghost will be in you a well of water springing up into eternal life. So you can have this Holy Ghost. So when you gotta walk through your desert season in your life, you got a well of water because you got the full blessing. Listen, it's no longer time to be satisfied that God move on you and impress you to go down in the water. In Jesus' name, thank God
You did that part, but there's more for you to do. He not only wants you to get in the water, he wants the water in you. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Don't be satisfied with classical Christendom. Don't be satisfied with the world's perspective of Christendom. But I want it like the Bible said. In the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, on one accord. And suddenly there came a sound of glory from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That was God breaking through the atmosphere. That was God breaking through the hemisphere. That was God breaking through the stratosphere. That was God fulfilling his word from Old Testament time. God filled them. The Bible said there's a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Oh God, I'm praying, I'm asking, we're praying, we're asking, fill this house, shake this facility in the name of Jesus. Shake this place like it ain't never been shaken. Send a Holy Ghost tsunami in this place, because there's people here that still have not received the full blessing. God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said it was cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. God, sit on somebody. In the name of Jesus, sit on somebody, God, in the name of Jesus. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began, I feel like preaching now, and began, every last one of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. That's the full blessing. The full blessing. That's what you need. Don't you dare settle for baptism in water only. You're settling. See, the devil don't really care if you go down in that water. He don't care. But when you get the Holy Ghost, then you got the power. You got more power than ever ready. You'll be ever ready to fight the good fight of faith. You need the full blessing. 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 Oh God, help us to believe you. 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 Oh glory. In that 19th chapter, oh glory, hallelujah, God has recorded in his word that the apostle laid his hands on them. Oh God, and they received the Holy Ghost. Oh God, would to God, hallelujah, that we were praying Edomosa. We were praying and walking in faith like God wants us to walk in faith. We were trusting him totally, that we could be able, oh God, just to lay our hands in Omosah on somebody, and they can eat Omosah, and they can be filled with the Holy Ghost. That power is the power of God, but we got to believe it. I hear a cry from my heart, God. God, help our unbelief. Oh God, the same God that did it then, he's the same God that can do it now. God, we want somebody to receive the full blessing. Oh glory, hallelujah. God put a promise out, and God is not a man that he should lie. He said the promise is unto you and is to your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God, give them the full blessing. God, give us the faith to believe your word. Itemosa. Give us the faith, God, to believe your word, that we can just lay hands in the name of Jesus. Lay hands and people be filled. Oh God, we want that kind of faith where we can lay hands and people receive your spirit. That's the kind of faith that we need. Oh God, so what we're going to have to do, y'all, as a congregation of believers, we're going to have one mind, one accord, one purpose. We got to push back our plate and fast for God to undo the bands of wickedness, to let the captives free. That's what we got to do, oh God, because I believe if we do our part, then God will show enough do his part. We want the full blessing. We want the full blessing. We want the full blessing in the name of Jesus. That's what we want. That's what we want for everybody we come in contact with. The full blessing. Not a house. Not a car. Not a 401k. Not a 403b. We want the full blessing. The Holy Ghost. Oh God. Help us. Help us. Those of us who have received the full blessing, we want to be agents of the full blessing. Distributors. God, open up a Holy Ghost distributorship. Oh God, let us be your representatives. Oh, it's going to take some work for us. Singular focus. We ain't giving our children and grandchildren over to the devil. We're tired of the devil trying to punk us and our kids. We ain't going for that. God keeps his promises. We got to walk in agreement with those promises. God can't lie. He can't. He would stop being God if he lied. So every word of God is true. I got to stop. But I think if we live in the Lord's will, I'm going to hit this again. I got to keep going in this vein. I got to keep going in this vein. Because I want to see something happen. Don't you? Don't you? I want to see our kids, our son. We got too many sons and daughters out there. I want God to bring them in. Not only do I want God to bring them in, I want God to bring them in and their friends in. I want to see blocks filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see hoods filled with the Holy Ghost. The full blessing. I want to see believers filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see Christians, all those who claim to be Christians, I want to see them filled with the full blessing. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. But if the Lord says the same, we're going to be on this series for a little bit. Did you share this? Yeah, people need to hear this. Because it's really not about us. No, it's really not. But we want people to receive the full blessing. Oh, God, help us to be worthy representatives of you, God. And you know something? Now, this is just me. Y'all pray for me. This is just me. Certain things in services are good and well-intentioned, but I got some Bible to back up what I think I'm going to say. There doesn't necessarily, watch the air quotes, have to be a altar call. Because while Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that believe. So don't get beside yourself if he ain't do an altar call. God's been calling, and he's still calling. That's right, Bishop. It's tradition. But we got to sometimes move tradition out the way and let God have his way. When Peter preached, the sinners gave the altar call. They said, "What shall we do?" Peter didn't say, "Is there one?" There were 3,000 of them. It's the preaching of the gospel that pricks the hearts of individuals. And when God sees the faith, down comes the Holy Ghost. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask my pastor if she would pray a dismissal prayer over us, Bishop Usery. Get her a mic, if you will. Amen. But share this message. I think it's a shareable message. I don't normally say that, but I think this one is a shareable one. The full blessing. Huh? You need one of these? Uh-oh. I'm taking plants and everything, huh? Amen. Yeah. A baptism? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Give God praise. Fill up with the Holy Ghost, God. You can do it right now before she gets in the water. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So when she gets dressed, ministers in training, you'll join me back there for some more on-the-job training. Okay, amen. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, so what should we do? Should we wait for the baptism or go ahead and, we can wait. Amen, but just bask in God's presence and thank God for the soul that was touched. Amen. God moved upon this young lady. Amen. We give God praise. We give God praise. We give God praise. We need to sing something. Oh, that's the neighbor of Brother Michael Metcalf. Wonderful. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Turn on Bishop Usery's microphone. Number two.
In conjunction with what Pastor's been preaching this morning, and he brought out how that they waited those 10 days because God was introducing his spirit into the atmosphere, it's here.
That's right.
So the idea that the church taught us for years about you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost is a misnomer.
Right.
You don't tarry for something that's already there. They tarry. We don't have to tarry.
Right.
We just have to receive it and believe it and know that it's going to happen.
Right.
So for this young lady, whoever she is, the Lord doesn't want her to have to tarry. He wants her to just believe.
Yes.
So we're going to pray for the Lord to give her a heart to believe,
yes,
and receive, that she can get the Holy Ghost today.
Yes.
I'm going to believe God for that. We're going to all believe God for that. This is going to be on one accord. We're going to believe God for that.
Yes.
And even if it, and let's not say this. It doesn't matter how the outcome is. Just know his spirit is here now.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
It's not coming. It has already come and it is still here. So let's just be encouraged to know God is here and he's in our midst. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen.